From this series that we've been just with, I want to talk about steps to a turnaround. The title was different until God changed that 2 weeks ago. And I want you to take a moment to find yourself in Solomon's prayer in this scripture. And I know it may seem difficult because the way that Solomon was praying, he was praying in a manner that suggests that there would come a day when Israel would go out and fight battles and would have to do things on a national level to face people that they may not want to face. And it also suggests that there may come a moment when the people would not want to listen to God and his direction regarding anything with the nation. Because you catch language in the text. God, if your people sin, if your people don't listen, if your people go against what you want, if they do that and you get angry, and you send them away. That doesn't sound like the God that a lot of people want to promote. Because truth of the matter is, we don't always like promoting certain sides of God. We want to promote the loving God, which makes sense. You need to know that somebody bigger than you loves you. We want to promote the gracious God. We want to promote the merciful God. We want to promote the healing God. But it is difficult for us to ever imagine talking about an angry God. Because it kind of suggests to us this notion that God has an ego and God acts like us. But if you give me a moment to unpack a little bit, I want us to finally get to a place where we have some more understanding of God. Imagine for a minute you have spent your entire life teaching your children how to navigate life. They grow up, they fall on their face, they do all kinds of stuff. You clean up their scrapes, you tell them 50 million times, don't touch this, don't do this, don't do that. I'm going through it now with a four-year-old that has selective hearing. Get up off the floor. Didn't I just tell you, get up off the floor. Son, we just put on these clothes and you're on the carpet that has all this dog hair. Get up off the floor. Then it gets to the place where it's like, CJ, I should only tell you one time. Please do not make me tell you more than once. Then it becomes, okay, since you didn't hear me that time, let me get your attention by taking away some stuff that you enjoy so that you understand how serious I am. And somewhere in there, in that dialogue between me and my son, from time to time, He's gotten to this place. He's a highly intelligent kid. He gets it from his mother. I'm smart, but mama's smart too. So we're not in trouble because we know where he gets his intelligence from. He gets it from both sides. He's very verbal, and he looks at me sometimes and said, "Daddy, please don't be angry with me." And I say to him, "Son, never angry. I just want you to get this thing right.
Amen. Amen.
I want you to listen and focus. Because if you listen and focus, you're going to be just fine. I don't question my son's intelligence. I don't question the fact that he will be a success. I don't question the fact that at some point, if we've done our job right as parents, he's going to retire us. But while he's growing, I'm glad that he at least has this understanding. That negative does lead to a reaction that is different than how you perceive your father. Y'all might have missed that whole thing right there, and I could just sit down. But sometimes the things that we do elicits a reaction from God that is very different than how we experience God. So sometimes God will allow us to go into isolation. So what Solomon's talking about is that there is the possibility that at some point, we as a nation are going to mess this thing up somewhere. There is the possibility, because we are human beings and we have our own ideas and our own concepts and we want to do what we want to do. But if for some reason you allow us to go to a place that is not our own and allow us to be in a spot where we're isolated because we made a decision to do things that were contrary to how we understand you. But while we're in that place, thank you, Jesus. Here we go. But while we're here in that space, because of what we decided to do, we turn our faces back to you and say, you know what? We don't want to be in this spot no more. And we understand that we've messed up somewhere. If you see us come to a place of that kind of humility where we know that we have messed up somewhere and we understand that our decisions may have brought us to a place that you didn't intend for us to be and you never wanted us to be in, and you allowed it because you know that our choices do still have consequences.
Yes, 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 yes.
If we turn our faces to you, hear us. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, I want to do two things today. One, I want you to get rid of some guilt. What are you talking about? I want you to get rid of the guilt associated with some of the things that you may have done in your past. Because some of the things that we're going through right now have absolutely nothing to do with what we're trying to do for God right now. And some of the things that we're still in right now have absolutely nothing to do with the fact that we want to continue to do what we've been doing. But some of it is based on the fact that we have decided that we want to take on this guilt. Because we know we've made mistakes. We know we've done stuff. We know we've fallen short, but then we take on the extra guilt and say, we don't deserve to turn it around. Can I preach it like I feel it? Some of the things that keep us from what God has promised us and has not taken his eye off of and has not decided to keep from us is not based on just God punishing, but sometimes it is because we continue to punish ourselves.
Amen. Amen.
Come on now.
Yes, sir.
Come on now.
Yes.
Amen.
So if I recognize my mistake, if I recognize my own folly, let me take it a step further, because some things are not about sin. They are about decisions. Let me tell you a quick story about business. Y'all know the professional wrestler Hulk Hogan. He said one time on his now old reality show that he had a chance to make a whole lot of money with something that we now know as the George Foreman grill. Somebody approached him with this idea and asked if he wanted to put his name to the prompt. And he said on national television that he thought that that grill was the worst idea that ever existed. But then one day, a boxer with a whole bunch of sons named George was given the idea, and the next thing you know, the rest is history. And he said, Hulk Hogan said, I was so dumb to believe that this thing wouldn't work, and the next thing I know, millions of these things have been sold. And he said, I live with the guilt of missing an opportunity to make all that money. Some things about decisions have nothing to do with sin, but sometimes it has to do with betting on yourself. Amen. There are moments when God has already told us what to do. God told us that we can be entrepreneurs. God told us that we can go out and make a difference in the world. God told us that we can go out and make an impact and all that stuff. But suddenly, somewhere along the line between what God said and the opportunity, we decided it can't be me. And we live in the prison of a decision. So everything ain't about sin. Sometimes it's just as simple as a choice. But once you get to that place of exile, if you will, and you start recognizing that this ain't what you thought it would be, you recognize that this ain't what God told you to do, then you need a few things so you can turn this sucker around. Because let me help you. There is never, ever a time where you can run out of time to make the difference and make a change. You can still have a business, even if you think you're running out of time. Amen. You can still be a CEO, even if you think you're running out of time. Yes, you can still have an impact on your children, even if you think you're running out of time. On, you can make an impact on the community, even if you think you're running out of time. God's already said, I set this thing up for you. All I need you to do is recognize it. Amen. So here's how you begin to turn this sucker around. Amen. Number one, you got to learn the lesson. First thing is, you got to learn the lesson. There's some things that I've been through in the last 2 or 3 years. And the one thing my wife kept saying to me constantly was, have you learned your lesson? At first, I was almost sick of hearing that question, because I'm saying to myself, what lesson am I supposed to be learning from the decisions I've made? But then God let me be to myself a minute. And see, there's something about being in isolation. And isolation does not necessarily mean that you're locked in a room. Isolation can mean that God has literally shut off your feelings and everything else to the people that are around you. Have you ever been in a crowd and you felt all by yourself? You've been around 1,000 people and yet you felt alone? Isolation. All isolation ain't bad, but sometimes isolation, if not treated properly, can drive you crazy. So somewhere in there comes a moment between you can lose your mind or you can make the change, where a lesson has to be learned. How do I deal with this knowing that I'm here right now? I could be doing something different, but I'm in this space. So what's the lesson? The prayer says, if we are in exile, and while we're in the place of exile, we turn our faces to you. Which means they would not be in their comfort zone of the land of Israel. Which means they would not be in the comfort of their own houses. They would not be in the comfort of being able to worship in their temple. They would not be in a place where they could go to their favorite stores and restaurants and be around their family like normal. They would be in a place that is contrary to their comfort. Sometimes in your comfort, you can't learn nothing. Because you got a bunch of yes people saying, oh, it's okay. You're going to be all right. You ain't got nothing to learn. It's all them. Have you ever been around people pumping your head up with all that nonsense? And you still ain't learned it. You still around the same people doing the same stuff. And you don't even recognize that some of them are saying all this stuff because they know what you should have known, that you could be further along. But since they know what you should know, they're going to do everything they can to keep you where you are and let you know there's nothing for you to learn. You've been doing everything all right. You've been doing this, that, and the other. Everything's going to work out okay. Just be patient. No, sometimes you got to examine yourself. Where did this thing go wrong? Sometimes it's just the fact that I decided to do my own thing my own way. I didn't listen to wisdom. I didn't listen to encouragement. I didn't listen to God. I didn't listen to whatever. I didn't trust in what God said He was going to work. I did all that stuff. But now that I know that whatever God says, God's going to fulfill, and I know for a fact that I don't want to be here, the lesson is trust God at all times, because no matter what I got to face and no matter what the circumstance, I still got to trust the Lord at all times. Even if it doesn't seem like it's going to work out, trust God. Even when it seems like everything in life is telling me that it's not going to work, God said it and I need to trust it. So Lord, hear me. Because I don't want to be here no more. Come on. You got to learn the lesson. Don't pick up the guilt of the exile. Learn the lesson from the isolation. Number two. I ain't going to be long. Got to recognize that obedience has better results. Obedience has better results. That means this. If I just do what God said, even if it looks crazy, it's going to work out. Let me be practical according to the text. They're in exile. If this is the prayer, if we mess up and you allow us to go into exile, here's the key. Exile, again, takes me away from my comfort. Let me be more practical. Exile takes me from my own bed. Exile takes me from my house. Exile takes me from having options to eat. Y'all seeing this? I'm being practical. We ain't going spiritual yet. The practicality of it is exile keeps me from what I know and what feeds me. So that means that whatever I decided to do, I put at risk that which feeds me. Whereas my obedience would not only allow me to be in some level of comfort, but my comfort turns into support. And my support becomes my propping, which allows me to do more. The Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. The context of that statement was when Saul was trying to cover up the fact that he kept stuff that God said burn up. And Saul tried to justify keeping what God said let go. Wait a minute, something just hit. God said to some of us, let this go. But we're still trying to justify to God why we need to keep it. Oh, I just set my own self free. Even you don't want to shout, cool. Cool. That's all right. That's all right. That's all right. You can be introverted or extroverted. Everybody ought to shout off of this. There's some things that God is telling all of us right now. You need to let it go, because there is no justification for you to keep it, because I'm not trying to receive it. All I want is for you to trust me.
Amen.
That's it and that's all. Trust me. Watch this. Trust me, because if I told you to do this, even if you ain't got it, don't you know that I'm the supplier anyway? Walk straight. Well, I ain't got shoes. Don't you just trust me. Walk straight. I ain't got shoes. I got these broke down things, but no. Leave that alone and just walk. But Lord, why do you want me to walk? I need something to support my feet. Don't you know that I told you to leave that broke down stuff alone? Because somewhere along the line, while you're walking, I'm going to make sure that your needs are met. So while you're walking, guess what? If you just obey me and just walk, don't you think I'm going to supply you with some shoes? And not just old broke down shoes, but some good ones? Don't you think after a while, when people see you walking and just trusting me, I might supply you with somebody to drive you on to the next thing? If you just trust me, I already got the thing laid out, but you got to just what? Obey me. And obedience is not just about saying, yes, Lord. Obedience is about, yes, Lord, I trust you. Can I go further? As a church, we should have been shouting and running around about a grant that we received. But you don't even know the story about how the grant even came to our attention. Because you need some practical stuff. I was at work doing my mundane job. A job I'm overqualified for. And I was sitting while the phones weren't ringing. And then I looked down at my phone. And I had an email notification. And it came from somebody who works for West Ohio Conference. That ain't the point. The deeper point is the person that works for West Ohio, I actually have a relationship with, because they were my classmate back in seminary. And she decided, well, because I know him, I need to let him know what's going on. And she shot me an email. And I looked at the email and I said, you know what? Let me look a little further. And then I said, God, you gave a vision about something that some people might think we're totally crazy to even think about. Saying to themselves, even if they don't say it in public, where the money gonna come from? But God, you said that you're gonna do it. And you said this is gonna be the avenue. And I'm trusting you in that, because I'm looking around and I don't see any extra money. So how are you gonna do it? And then showing up, an email comes. And then the next thing I know, I say, well, God, you already working. So all we got to do is just work it a little bit. There were no guarantees. There was no guarantee we were going to get a single dime. There was no guarantee that we would even come close to a single dollar. But I said, look, if we're going to do anything, let's just give it a shot and see what happens. And then all of a sudden, an email from one person came to me. And then it went straight to Sister Lori. And I said, sis, you know what to do. Everything was already set up. And the next thing you know, we just submitted it and we had to sit on it. And we just had to sit and wait and trust God to do something. We didn't hear nothing. Nobody said nothing. Nobody called us. But here's the thing. Nobody said no either. And by the time we came to where we needed to come to, before we got the letter, before we got an email, before we got a confirmation, the DS looked at us and said, hey, I just want you to know that you got what you submitted for. Now let me tell you what happens. When you trust God for real, God will show up. When God said he's going to do it, you got to just say, Lord, I trust you. Obedience has better results. Last thing, I'm finished. With a turnaround, there's restoration that's associated. Restoration is associated with a turnaround. Hear from heaven and restore. That's the theme. Hear from heaven, God, and restore. So deliver your people from exile back to the land that you gave. Hear the sincere prayer and restore your people to the land you gave. Restoration. Restoration looks interesting. It looks different. It looks like this. Woke up this morning and I got my clothes laid out. And I just looked at the stuff and I said, okay, know what I'm going to do. I'm going to put on this shirt. I'm going to put on this suit. I've been wanting to wear this suit for 2 weeks, so here we go. It's dry cleaned. It's pressed. You know, I got issues, though. I got insecurity issues sometimes. You want stuff to fit properly. And so I look at myself sometimes and I'm like, well, is this really going to work today? But something interesting happened this morning. Something interesting happened this morning. I stood in the mirror and I looked and all this, and I did this. And you're not going to understand this right away, but I'm just using it as a visual example. So I stood in the mirror and, you know, did all normal stuff. Like, okay, here we go. But I did something interesting. I pulled my jacket because it's a double-breasted suit. And to close this sucker. No. Y'all miss it. Y'all about to miss it. And then I did this. Brothers know what this is. Because you want to make sure that stuff ain't pulling on you. And I looked in the mirror and I stood square. And I said, well, look at here. This suit is at least 8 years old. And I got the suit when I was smaller. Y'all about to miss the shot. I got this suit when I was smaller. Yes, sir. I hadn't been able to wear this suit for real like this in a few years. Where I could just stand and I'm good. God knows I still need to do some things, but I shouted within myself. Because he's bringing back some stuff that I thought I lost. Come on, let's go. When you give yourself to God in your exile, you don't know what you're going to arrive back to. But when God delivers you, God will restore. Let me tell you how God restores. You thought you were no longer creative. But when God restores you, your imagination comes back. You thought you had no more good ideas because you were going through hell and high water. But when God restores you, your brain begins to fire off. You didn't think you had any praise in your lips anymore because of what you've been going through. But when God restores you, you begin to shout in a way that you thought would be so undignified. But then you start thinking about how God has blessed you. You start thinking about how God has delivered you. And you start saying to yourself, I don't care how undignified it looks. Because when I think about the goodness of the Lord and all that the Lord has done for me and how I should not be in this spot right now, I will look as undignified as I want to. Because there comes a moment when you got to say to yourself, He is deserving of my praise. God is deserving of my worship. And because God turned the thing around, why would I keep my mouth shut?
Hallelujah. Worthy, worthy.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
The Lord will restore what you thought was lost. So, stop living in that place of exile. Stop saying to yourself, you don't deserve another chance. Nobody's deserving of any chance. So if I get another shot, why wouldn't God give you another shot? It ain't about deserve. It ain't about deserve. Whole lot of things some of us deserve. Some of us got some slick talking ways. Some of us deserve to be hit straight in the mouth. But it was mercy that you didn't get swung on. Deserve? What are you talking about? You made bad financial decisions, but your bills are still paid.
Amen. Amen.
That should let you know deserve doesn't work in the equation. Deserve? No. God has given me another chance to get this thing right. So free yourself. Nobody wants to live in bondage for real. Free yourself. Stop living in your guilt. Free yourself. Look to God and say, God, I hate how this feels. And I don't want to be here no more. So, if you don't mind, could you just bring me out? Not because I'm uncomfortable, but because I know your way is what's best for me. And the Lord will restore unto you the years that were taken away.
Amen.
I'm finished. God bless you. May heaven smile upon you.